This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. There's a team called the Smile Action Team, which is an NGO that organizes dental outreach programs amongst underprivileged communities in Malaysia, as well as other countries in the Southeast Asian region. We're joining me, Dr. Maple Lau, who's the Vice President of the Smile Action Team. She's going to be sharing a little bit more about the different oral health issues prevalent among some of these underprivileged communities here in Malaysia, as well as in Southeast Asia. Welcome to the show, Dr. Maple. How are you today?
I'm fine.
You know, tell me about yourself. I mean, you're a dental surgeon yourself, and how did you get involved, or why did you get involved in the Smile Action Team?
Actually, we started because this is my profession. I love to do this. So we give all free dental service to all the needed community.
Okay, what about the history of the Smile Action Team? Who are they? Who started it?
We start this small action team since about 9 years ago. This is formed by a group of dentists and a few dental assistants. We went for a visit in a refugee orphanage home in Cambodia, Kampong Spur, Cambodia. So the first visit we went there, we only give away the free dental toothbrush and toothpastes. Mm-hmm. And then, but the person in charge in that orphanage home, he requests for, why not you all dentists, why don't you come for a free dental service for us? So we go home and think about that. After that, 4 months later, we bring with full equipment with the group of dentists and dental materials, dental machinery, and then we start the treatment.
Why Cambodia? I mean, you could have started here in Malaysia.
Because there's a lot of rules. If you want to go through a country for a dental treatments, you need authority agreements and you need a lot of things. But Cambodia's why? Because we know a few of the orphanage person in charge in the orphanage home. So they prepare the place for us. They prepare the kids and the villagers for us. So when we go there, we go straight away set up and we can straight away do our work.
Sure. Why not an orphanage in Malaysia though?
We did it. We try to do it also. But sometimes we need an annual practicing license to start a dental treatment in a place. In Malaysia itself, we do giving free dental services to some of the like orphanage home and the refugee home, refugee center. They will bring them to our clinics.
And you were saying something about an annual practicing license. What is that?
That's why we need to bring them to our clinics.
Who needs an annual practicing license?
Every dentist.
Okay, so yes. Are you saying some of the dentists don't have an annual practicing license?
No.
They all have.
To practice the dentistry in Malaysia in one clinic, you need to have a license.
Yes.
So you cannot practice in other clinics without a license.
I see. So it's only applicable.
So if you want to have a mobile clinics, we cannot do so many dental treatments in mobile clinics in Malaysia. So we bring them to our clinics.
I see. Okay. So hence the little bit of a logistical problem.
Yeah.
You cannot go to them.
Yes.
You have to bring them to the clinic.
For the Laos and the Cambodia, actually we get the authorized letter from the governments, from the Ministry of Education, from their countries. So we can have, we have license to do the dental treatment in that countries.
Having said that, you've done work with the Orang Asli community in Malaysia.
Yes.
Could you share that with me?
We go to the Orang Asli Kampung for one whole day and then we will set up our clinics there. But we majority will do only the oral hygiene instructions because from Orang Asli also are Malaysians. Most of them is very... Also, dental phobia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They of course, everyone's
try to run
of the
away
dentist.
From us. So we try our best. We do oral hygiene instructions first, and then we do some things like majority is the oral hygiene session, dental checkup, free dental checkup. If they need basic dental treatments like extractions, the mobile teeth, usually no, and then we'll do on the spot if they agree for us to do for it for them. Some of them they say I'm very sangat takut lah. They don't want. So majority our major objective is the oral hygiene instruction is the baseline. The one is that how you take care of your teeth when the dentist is not around, when the accessibility of dentist is very difficult.
And could you give me examples right from brushing your teeth to
right from brushing your teeth? Right, the way you brush your teeth is quite important also. Most I found that majority of the Malaysians didn't know how to brush their teeth properly.
I know.
The way they brush is just, I brush my tooth. So they say, I brush my teeth every day, but they didn't brush it correctly.
Okay, what is the best way to brush your teeth?
You want me to demo?
Just
actually, you
an
brush
example.
You angle your toothbrush 45 degrees to the gingiva, to the gum. Okay, and then you brush horizontally using a very soft brush, extra soft brush, and then you brush every time, every stroke you cover about 3 teeth. Do it 15 to 20 strokes for every area horizontally, and then it's separate for upper teeth and lower teeth. Not clench your teeth together and brush. In the center, you have to massage the gum. Is the major things.
Okay.
So most of the Malaysians, when they brush their gums, they found it's bleeding.
Yes.
There's a lot of bleedings come from. I hurt my gums. Actually, it's not. When the gum bleeds, it's giving you warning that please help me. There's a lot of germs on me. Please brush them away. But when you brush it and then you found it bleeding. Oh no! Then they will say, stop bleeding. Stop brushing, because they want to stop the bloods.
The bleeding will stop?
The bleeding will stop, but if tomorrow you brush again and then the bleeds again, means that there's something there, you need to see dentist.
Okay, all right then. So get the brushing right. What else?
Also, I think the food, and then for the kids, usually we target the kids for most of the actions, and then they love candy. The things that they eat is all sticky food, like sticky candies. Like most of the time, it's the biscuits that stick on the tooth surface. Mm-hmm. And then all these, if you didn't brush them away, then they accumulated long enough on the teeth surface, it will causing a hole, small hole on the teeth, what we call is caries, dental caries. So when the caries, the early stage of caries will be no pain at all. It's just a few spots, like brown color spots. Then it do no harms to you. But after the hole get bigger and bigger unnoticeably, and then it will become pain. And then there is the phobia come from.
Sure. And are the children, the dental health or oral hygiene of the children in the Orang Asli community, is that different from the urban children?
It's totally different. Orang Asli is about, they most of them is just tooth decays. They doesn't have much caries because of maybe the way in Orang Asli in Malaysia actually can access a lot of things. They can have good access of toothbrushes and toothpastes very easily compared with the Laos and Cambodia kids. And then also the food that they eat also different. Like in Orang Asli Malaysia, they are taking more organic foods, like not so much candies. So their problem is not to the dental caries and but they are more to the oral hygiene and the crowdings. Means that the crowding means that it's
overcrowding in the mouth.
Overcrowding is like the baby teeth is not shedding, and then but the permanent teeth is coming out. Mm-hmm. Behind all the teeth, there's the crowdings. It happened to most of the Malaysia kids, including Orang Asli.
Is it because of nutrition? Better nutrition?
Nutrition and also the way they chew, the food they chew. Actually, jawbone is actually the same like our bone in other parts of our bodies. You need chewing and mastication exercise. So the food in Malaysia is also refined, like hot dogs, sausage, everything. And then they didn't chew so much. They didn't chew hard food like what the Laos children do. And then the jawbone is actually smaller when the permanent teeth, which is bigger in size, want to come out.
Right. Mm. Okay. And so what's your advice to parents when the children are young? What should we be giving them to strengthen and make sure
that... Don't cut the food small.
Don't cut it too small. Yeah. I mean, we used to chew on sugar cane, for an example.
Yeah.
People don't do that anymore.
Yes.
What else?
I think they should. Most of the kids should chew more like vegetables, like hard vegetables, like or apples or guavas. Mm-hmm. All these things to chew more, and then chew more meats. Don't eat refined meats like sausage, like the nuggets, all the refined things that you don't need to chew for a long time, you know. And then also sometimes it's the habits, like pacifier habits, and then the thumb sucking habits also. So when the things come, there was a imbalance of a neuromuscular of the oral environment, so the bone cannot grow because of the sucking habits. All these things do happen to every kid in Malaysia.
So should we do away with the pacifier?
They have a few pacifiers, like auto pacifier that they train to put their tongue properly. Some of the pacifier, they just are simply for a sucking effect. But some of the pacifier is training the tongue to put them nicely. Correct tongue position. There's a put the tongue up and then prevent the upper jaw from restricted by this buccinator muscle.
Right, okay. All right, complicated stuff going on there. Who would have thought the simple pacifier was causing so much havoc in the
mouth? But we suggest babies to stop the pacifier before age of 4.
Okay. What about the thumb? Sometimes you can't get rid of it. I mean, you start. What do you do then?
It's actually very difficult. Most of the kids try to prevent it from the
starting.
First day.
So try and avoid it altogether. So use the pacifier line and then throw it away before the age of 4.
But the pacifier also you need to choose carefully.
To pick the right one.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll come back and find out a little bit more about the Smile Action Team and what they're up to and what they're going to be up to going forward. And if you'd like to be involved, whether or not you can, coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment, Dr. Maple Lau, Vice President of the Smile Action Team. She's also a dental surgeon, talking to us about this NGO that does work amongst, or has outreach programs for the underprivileged communities. Mostly it would seem like children are the ones that you seem to be targeting, Dr. Maple?
Yeah, at first we target only children. After that, the villagers do come in because they say, I also have toothaches, can you please help me? So we do it also. So we end up with cover the whole village when we go to the an area. At first we give priority to the school children first, the primary school children, the secondary school children, followed by the adults.
The adults. And have you seen improvements?
Yes, of course.
How long have you done this?
You mean the SAT?
Going into these villages. Give me an example of a village and how long you've been there and how you've seen improvements.
For example, in Cambodia, we went there since 2009 until recently also we still went going. And then in the same area that we went, the work that we need to do, the dental work that we need to do for them is less. Because we don't need to do dental fillings anymore. We just need to do some cleaning because there are no more dental caries in their mouth because all we have been covered. And then we also don't discover new caries because of the dental education that we give, oral hygiene instructions. And then also we teach them how to brush their teeth properly. So our work in the village become very less. Just left only a few old box that they need tooth remover. They want me to take out their teeth, and that's the only thing.
And you can actually do that in the village itself?
Yeah.
So you take all your machinery in there?
Yeah, we bring our dental machine, dental forceps, LA, all the medicine and everything.
Who funds you? Where are you getting all the money from?
It's all dentists, from the dentist.
Okay.
And also from our very kind patients. Sometimes they heard about our work in all these countries. They say, I wish to go, but I can't. Can I give some donations? So then now after so many years, there's also a few charity show that going on, and some artists also quite generous to have some drawings and do some charity fund from their painting, and then they donate to us.
I see. Okay, and that's enough?
Actually, we have a lot of sponsors from other countries, usually from Japan, like Japan Cultural Companies. They give us some free dental toothpaste. The things that we need most is the dental toothbrush and dental toothpaste. And then the rest, like dental filling material and the equipment, all supplied by all the dentist itself, because we know what we want. We can bring it from our own clinics, you know. The machine that we need to always change a new one, because we bring that machine on the planes, on the flights, and then sometimes wear and tear happens. So when the machine broke down, we don't know how to repair. We only know how to repair the teeth. So we need to buy the new one.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
So when did Smile Action Team, when was it set up?
the registration of the NGO is 2010.
How many doctors do you have? How many dentists do you have on board?
The working dentist like me is we involve the permanent dentist like always joining is about 5 or 6 only. But always every time when a new action coming in, we do recruit a new dentist from not from our clinics but from out of our clinics, like maybe the fresh grads, maybe the very experienced dentist from other places. All over the country. When they're interested, they just ring me up and then tell me, hey, can I join you this trip? I say, okay, no problem. So now every action, we have about 10 to 12 dentists.
Every mission.
And then also some volunteer, non-dentist volunteer as a dental assistant and oral hygiene instructions.
So five to six of you and yourself, for an example, mm-hmm. do you have your own clinic or have you just sacrificed and you do this full-time?
We are not full-time. Do this full time. We have our own clinics. We have our own practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. How many trips do you make, or how many missions do you have
every year?
Yeah.
The major project will be 2 every year, to Laos or Cambodia. And then the small one, like 1-day trips, will be quite often. Because the Kedua Kampung, they invite us to go, we will straight go just for 1 full day. So it not disturb our clinical works at all. So we can go there, touch and go. Or maybe we can send in the van to bring them to our clinics for half days only. So we can cover about 30 kids or 30 refugees 1 day.
Do you feel that is a gap? I mean, are you the only ones doing this or are the dentists also
not
doing
many
this?
Many of us is doing. Our groups, all the dentists in our group is quite generous. They're willing to spare their time for us. When I'm not very free today, but they have refugees coming in, we will contact one of the dentists in our groups. They will do it very happily without complaints.
Okay, so you have also the refugee community. What are some of their issues, oral health issues?
Actually, all is the same. Just like Malaysians, they have a very minor, like oral hygiene is the major things, like bleeding gums, okay? And then they are more demanding on the aesthetic. So the front teeth, like I want my front teeth to look nice when I smile. They cannot go without like a hole on their teeth. Yep. That's the only things they want. Then the problem in Malaysia is not so big. We just try to help them to prevent them from the bad oral hygiene.
You know how we need to, the advice is to visit the dentist twice a year.
Yes.
Yeah, every 6 months. Mm. So for these communities, I mean, they don't have the luxury of visiting the dentist twice a month. So
yes. Does
that mean they're only coming to you when there's a problem? Or how do you help them, maintain their teeth?
That's why I say oral hygiene education is the most important.
Yep.
If you can brush your teeth properly, like I said just now, massage the gums, make sure you brush it clean enough, teach them how to feel what is the clean teeth surface and the dirty surface, and then they can maintain it well. And then when we supply them with the toothbrush and toothpastes, they can have a very good oral health. Oral hygiene.
So, for example, when we go to the dentist every 6 months, I mean, we do the scaling, we do the cleaning up, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that. So, they will not be able to do that then, these communities.
Yeah, they can request from their person in charge in their homes that will give us a ring. There's some people in my home, my orphanage home or refugee homes, they need some treatments. Can you arrange time? So we would arrange for them.
What are some of the memorable moments, stories that you remember working with these communities that's, made you very, that you will always remember?
Actually, everywhere is the same. They all come in and out, and then they need dental treatment. They say thank you. But the one thing is, I went to the Cambodia. There's an area, there's a place, it's a landmine place called Koke. Koke is an area that very poor area. There's a lot of landmines. Then we cannot walk around. We can only walk on the roads that they supplies. They said you can only walk here, if not the landmine will explode or something. And then the kids there is so different. Their oral hygiene is so bad. Their teeth is full of caries, means there's lots of holes. Their tooth is very painful. Some of them really cannot be safe, and then I need to pull out. But once I pull out their teeth, the bleeding cannot stop. And then some of them also have some skin issues, like they have their hair and their skin is all full of parasites, and then with the maggots on it.
Oh, dear.
So it's a very poor area, and so pity the kids, because we go there, we cannot do anything more than oral hygiene instruction. Then we tell them, please don't take candy, please don't eat candy from the tourists, but they don't. Once we go there, they will just ask for candy. Mm-hmm. They don't know we are dentists. We don't know who you are, but they request for candies. But when we open their mouth, oh my God, there's a lot of caries in their mouth, but we cannot pull out their teeth. I cannot pull out. I scared there's a lot of bleeding problem. Then I cannot stop the bleeding.
So do you think that, you know, medical practitioners are unable to go in because of the landmines?
The problem is sometimes you cannot access to the area unless you know somebody there. We got chance to go there because some of the villagers actually say, you please go there. But the person in charge also not very...
proactive.
Yeah, they just say it and then they stop for a few months, and then we have to keep contact, keep in touch with her. So he never replied the message or so. So we try our best to go there every time, but it's really difficult.
How many times have you gone in there?
Only once. So after that, I want to go there again. We cannot contact the person in charge anymore.
That's a shame. That's an absolute shame. Mm. What are some of your biggest challenges at the Smile Action team?
Usually it's the machine, dental machinery, because of the... Sometimes there's not enough electricity supply in the area. You bring the good equipment, also it's not functioning. And then also usually it's the problem with the authority in the area. Sometimes we cannot... we want to go to that place, but some area we cannot go in because of the local authority. We are prohibited from going in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they think we are going with permissions, you know.
Right.
So we have to clear ourselves first before we want to request food to go to their village.
Are you not afraid mm-hmm. for your own life? I mean, picking up diseases or, you know...
Yeah, they do have a lot of diseases for among the kids. But as a professional, we know how to prevent it. We have to do all the precaution works. The disinfectant is a control that we do for every kids, and after every treatment, also we do it 100% because we don't want to transmit the disease in between the kids or the villagers. For ourselves also, we do a very precaution jobs. Before we go in, before we start action or projects, we will educate our dentists, every one of the volunteers, to take care of themselves first. How to take care of yourself before you want to help people. This is the only thing we try to bring them. When the volunteer is coming in, we will tell them, you must know how to take care of yourself. And then we are a very strict group. Means that you have to listen to the project manager when you in actions. You cannot run away.
Do your own thing.
Do your own things on your own. Cannot. Because we bring the... We have the responsibility for every volunteer when we bring them to a country and a rural area.
Okay. So those are some of your equipment is one of the challenges.
Yes.
Anything else?
The fund for the dental toothpaste and toothbrushes.
Okay. Mm. So you welcome as much of,
of
donations.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right then. So how do we get in touch if we want to donate toothpaste and toothbrushes or, anything else that you may need? How do we get in touch with you?
You can go to our Facebook, Smile Action Team.
Okay, so look for you on Facebook.
Yeah.
Look out for Smile Action Team and you'll probably find them. So future plans, what are you planning to do going forward?
Mm.
So two trips this year to Cambodia and Laos again?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we hope we can have a mobile clinics actually in that usually it's Laos and Cambodia to access to more area, because every time when we go there, we need a van, we need to hire a van, two vans, three vans sometimes. And then when we go to a clinic, an area without electricity, so it's very difficult for us. So we plan to design a mobile clinics, maybe a van with the equipment, with the compressor, all the electricity, all the scalar machine, suction machine is well equipped. And then we can, when we go there, we no need to waste time to set up, to looking for the water, clean water source, to looking for the electricity. Because every time when we go to a new clinic, new village, we need to find a place, a clean place for us to set up our machine and a water. Where is the water, clean water? And then where is the electricity plug points? And then this is the thing that we waste. We only have, as you know, we are not a full-time volunteers. Our time also very important. Yeah. Every action we try to help as much kids as possible. So the time that we waste for traveling and looking for a place to set up our things is actually a lot. Because one village is only about maybe 500 or 600, maybe 1,000 kids or villages. So we use about 2 days to finish it. After that, we need to look for another area, new area. When we bring our machine and everything to a new area, we need to start again from zero.
Mm-hmm. What are your challenges here in Malaysia?
Malaysia usually is the...
It's a lot easier.
Yeah, because they come to our clinics. Yes. We have everything with us. So when they have problems like after the extraction, they have problems like bleedings, they're having pains, we can go back to the center or the center person in charge in the center will tell us and then we can bring them back to here. There's no problem at all. Just the Orang Asli is the one, like, they quite refuse. They don't want to see us. They said, I just want dental toothbrush and toothpastes. I don't want to see dentists at all. This is the only thing. They run away.
I don't know what it is about the dentist everybody is very afraid of. But anyway, would you have a message for us?
Please brush your teeth properly. And see dentists every 6 months.
Brush your teeth the right way is more like it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for joining us. Dr. Maple Lau, a dental surgeon and vice president of the Smile Action Team. If you'd like to get in touch with them, just log on to Facebook and look out for the Smile Action Team on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.